This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day. I'm hoping that all of you came through the winds on Friday okay, with homes intact. Our community has really pulled together, and I hope that the needs are being met. And if we know of neighbors that need some help, I hope we'll reach out and help them, and let us know if there are things we can do as a church. It is good to welcome you all into this time of worship. If you're worshiping online with us, you can register your attendance with the link that's there, place it in the browser. And if you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads that are at the end of each row. And we may have some visitors among us who don't know how this works, so if you could be sure that the registration pad makes it all the way down the row so that folks can sign in. And if you are visiting with us and would like to know a little bit more about this congregation and how we're trying to live out God's love in the world, then please share an email address or a mailing address with us, and we'll begin that conversation with you. A few announcements as we gather this morning. Through the season of Lent, we have concerts at noon on Thursdays here in the sanctuary and all over live stream, and there's more information in the bulletin if you want to RSVP for lunch afterwards. We hope you'll come this Thursday, as I think Kyle and Rebecca Collier will be performing for us this Thursday. Reverend Stacy wanted me to let you know there are two spots left on the Guatemala trip at the end of May, and if you're interested in knowing more about that or going on that trip, please email her or find her this morning and let her know. Finally, we want to give you a heads up about a very special event coming up on Wednesday, March 22nd. We'll have our regular Wednesday night supper, and then we will go up into the fourth story theater, and we've got lots of storytellers from our congregation who are going to share memories and stories from the past of West End that will help us look into the future to remember who we are and continue being a place of delight and service in our community. So we hope you'll come to that as well, and you can look for more information in upcoming publicity. As the second week of Lent arrives, we find ourselves once again in a one-on-one conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus. And as Jesus invites Nicodemus to open himself to something new, may we open ourselves in this time of worship to what God may be doing among us this day.
Thank you. We gather to hear a love story. Jesus reveals God's love and mercy.
Jesus calls us to be born in the Spirit.
May our worship renew our sense of calling.
May our worship honor the love of God.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we now will exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join with me in the Lenten prayer for illumination. Holy God, as we turn to the scriptures, open our hearts and minds that we might encounter you in the person of Jesus Christ. Be with us as the word is read and proclaimed, that we might know you more fully and follow you more faithfully. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? How can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, We speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, and yet you do not receive our testimony. I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd love to have a moment with the children. If you are here in the sanctuary, come join me up here if you'd like. Since it's communion, we have the rail closed. We got to go all the way around this way. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll spend some time together. Good morning, Wesley. Good morning, Maggie. Good morning up here. I'm so glad to see y'all this morning. These are my Wednesday night buddies. Good morning, good morning. So good to see everybody. Lots of folks coming down. Hi, Ruth. Sorry you got to go the long way. Oh, that's a good way to go. Just jump over. That's perfect. I wish I could do that, but my knees won't let me. Come on down. Welcome, welcome. Makes us all so happy to see all of you this morning in church. Thank you for being here. Some of you may have noticed that on Friday, it was really windy. Did any of you go outside and feel the wind? Yeah, I did. It was really, really blowing hard, wasn't it? Trees, let's lift our hands like the trees. The trees were blowing like this. We could see how strong the wind was by watching the trees go back and forth. Some trees, one of my neighbors had a tree that fell all the way down because the wind was so strong. Well, in the Bible story today, Jesus is talking about the wind. And he says, the wind maybe can help us think about God a little bit. He says, you know, when we're feeling the wind, we can't see it, right? We can't see where it's coming from. What's causing that wind? And we can't see where it's going. Where does it end up? It just keeps going. We can't see it. And sometimes we can't really see God, right? But we can see what God does. With the wind, we could see the trees, and we can see God doing things in the world. Yesterday, some of you were there, we had a big, great day of service where lots of people in the church were helping and cleaning and building things and painting homes for people, and it was a great day of service, we called it. And to me, I was seeing God work in all of those people. So next time you're outside and you feel the wind blow on your face, you think, maybe that's God just touching you in the face to say, I love you. And next time you see somebody doing something kind for someone else, think, that's God in that person's life. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we have a lot of questions about what you look like and how to better understand you. We may not have all our questions answered, but we can see you at work in the world. We don't always understand where wind comes from and where it's going. But we can feel it and see what it does. So help us to remember that you are at work in the world and at work in people. And when the wind touches our face, it's a sign and a reminder that you love us and you love the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for listening. Yeah. You had a tree branch that fell on the deck. Well, I hope you have some neighbors who can help you fix it. Oh, my goodness. It did a lot of damage, didn't it? That's wonderful. So as I said in the announcements, this is the second Sunday of Lent. And as many of you know, during this season of Lent, we are taking our time going through John's Gospel and listening in on these conversations that Jesus has with different kinds of people through the gospel, these one-on-one conversations. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this during this season of Lent is because the people Jesus engages with are so different from each other. And Jesus has a way of meeting them just where they are and finding a way to invite them deeper into the kingdom of God in ways that they need to hear it. So, for example, next week we'll meet the woman at the well, a Samaritan who was perhaps ostracized by her community. We'll meet a man who was born blind, ostracized in a different way by his community and the rumors that were spread about him. We'll meet dear friends of Jesus, Mary and Martha, who are grieving the loss of their brother. And though I haven't quite decided yet, I think on Palm Sunday, we're going to listen in on Jesus' conversation with Pontius Pilate, a politician and a representative of empire. But today, we're listening in on a conversation that Jesus had with a man named Nicodemus. John tells us he was a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews. We find out later in the gospel that he's a member of the high council, the Sanhedrin. So he is a man with a sophisticated education, a man who's dedicated his life to the study of the Torah and the prophets, who is looked upon by his community as a person of knowledge and authority, someone to go to for answers. He has power and privilege and prestige in the community. Compared to many of his peers, he's probably a person of wealth. And at the same time, he's conflicted. Many of his peers on the Sanhedrin and other leaders have it out for Jesus already. We're only in the third chapter of John, but the way John tells the story of Jesus, the chronology is a bit different, and it's in the second chapter. One of the first things Jesus does in his public ministry is go into the temple and turn over the tables. So already he's got a target on his back from some religious leaders. But Nicodemus, it seems, is intrigued by Jesus. John tells us he goes to seek Jesus out. He's curious about Jesus. He wants to know more. He wants to meet him face to face and have a conversation with him and learn from him. But he goes at night. He goes under the cover of darkness. My guess is he doesn't want anybody to see him talking to Jesus. Because Nicodemus has a lot to lose. It's not necessarily the case with some of the others we'll see in John's gospel, but Nicodemus could lose his power, his prestige, his position, his authority in the community if he were seen even talking to Jesus. And so he goes at night. And here we are, gathering around on the edges, listening in to their conversation. And we don't have time to dive deep into their words back and forth to each other, but we can get a glimpse of what Jesus is offering to Nicodemus in this conversation. Nicodemus starts off, his opening salvo, interestingly, is not a question. It's a statement of something he thinks he knows. That's probably what Nicodemus is used to doing, going in somewhere and saying, here's my knowledge, here's what I know. And so he says, we know, I don't know who we is, we know that you are a teacher who comes from God because no one could do the things that you're doing apart from God. I don't know if Nicodemus is just speaking for himself and playing it safe by saying we, or maybe it's him and Joseph of Arimathea, who we'll talk about in a minute, who shows up at the end of John's gospel. Maybe there's a small group among the Pharisees who really think Jesus might be somebody. But either way, he starts off by saying, we know you come from God. And then it's up to Jesus to make the next statement, to see what comes next. And this seems initially to be a meeting of the minds, these deep theological thinkers coming together to talk about things. But Jesus quickly turns it into something else. He goes deeper to the heart and soul and life. He takes Nicodemus on a wild ride. Initially, he says, no one will be able to see the kingdom of God unless they've been born again, born from above, born of water and the Spirit. And Nicodemus at first doesn't get it. He kind of goes literal. Wait, are you saying someone has to go back into their mother's womb and be physically born again? This is a pattern we're going to see in some of the other conversations Jesus has as well. It's not just Nicodemus. The woman at the well, Pilate, others take Jesus literally when he's trying to talk about something much higher and deeper. But Jesus says, you have to be born of the Spirit. And what I hear him saying to Nicodemus here is, Nicodemus, you have to be willing to let go of what you think you know. Let go of being the expert in the room all of the time. Let go of what you think you have understanding about God. Open up the box you may have put God in. Be open to the possibility that God may appear in ways and may do things that you could never have predicted, that fall far beyond your imagining or understanding. Nicodemus, maybe you need to unlearn some things in order to be open to what God is up to right now. You must be born again. And then he gives this image of the wind. The wind blows, you don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. And that's how it is with those who live in the Spirit. You cannot manage God. You cannot control God. You are not God's bodyguards. You are not the greatest font of understanding of who God is. You have to let God be God, Nicodemus. And that may take you to places of unknowing and uncertainty and humility. And then Jesus goes on to say, Nicodemus, God so loved the world. And the Greek word here is cosmos. God loves the cosmos beyond your imagining or measuring. Jesus doesn't say God so loved the Pharisees, or God so loved Israel, or God so loved the righteous. God so loved the world, Nicodemus, that God has sent God's only Son, that everyone who believes in him, that whosoever will believe in him, may not perish, or another translation is, may not be lost, but have eternal life. And hear this, Nicodemus, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. God is not in the business of condemnation, of drawing lines around who's in and who's out, who's good and who's bad, who belongs and who doesn't, Nicodemus. But God sent the Son into the world to save it, to redeem it, to heal it, to bring it to wholeness. And therein lies the invitation to Nicodemus. Now, at this point in the conversation, we don't hear from Nicodemus again. It's all Jesus. It's all red letters if you have a red letter Bible. But what I hear in these words of Jesus is an invitation to Nicodemus and to anyone like Nicodemus to allow God to be God, to allow God's grace to be on the move in the world toward all people, and to see that the work of the Spirit is the reconciling work of the world, bringing all of us back into right relationship with God and with one another and with the planet, not being worried about condemnation or having our theology right. So here's the invitation to Nicodemus. And we don't really know how he responded. We can put some pieces together, though. I guess it's encouraging to me that Nicodemus isn't transformed on the spot, like many are when they meet Jesus in the Gospels. He has more of a journey, as has been my own experience and maybe yours too. It takes Nicodemus some time. But he comes back in the 7th chapter in a meeting of the Sanhedrin, and he sort of, kind of stands up and says something courageous-ish. The Sanhedrin wants to bring Jesus in and condemn him, and Nicodemus says, "No, wait, our law doesn't allow us to condemn someone before they've had a trial, does it?" What does that tell us about Nicodemus' heart? I don't know. But he's still in that conflicted place, maybe trying to have a foot in both worlds, to hold on to his authority and also maybe sort of follow Jesus. I'm not sure he can do both. But we do see him at the end of the gospel when Joseph of Arimathea requests for the body of Jesus to be given to him after his crucifixion. Nicodemus joins him. Joseph of Arimathea was also on the Sanhedrin, is described as a secret disciple. Again, foot in both worlds, maybe. But Nicodemus comes with 100 pounds of ointment, an extravagant gift. And together he and Joseph, in the Gospel of John, prepare Jesus' body for burial. That's a function normally performed by close family members. There's even evidence in the early church that there was a leader of the Christian movement named Nicodemus. Boy, I like to think so. Because I identify a lot with Nicodemus. As someone who's highly educated, and I have my theology that I've worked out, I'm seen sometimes as a person of authority who might have some answers to some questions. I like certainty. But I hear this invitation to unlearn what I think I know. How do we respond to this invitation of Jesus? Can we let go of our answers, let go of our certainty, and be open to the movement of the Spirit, which will move where it will move and go where it will go, among unexpected people and unexpected places? What does it look like to believe that God loves the cosmos? It's not God so loves the church, or God so loves everybody who has it all together, or God so loves people who don't make mistakes, but that God so loves the world, and that we as the church don't exist for ourselves. We are, our purpose is outside these walls. We are here for the sake of the world. And how does that shape how we act and what we do as a congregation? What does it look like to believe that God does not condemn? That God is not in the business of condemnation? My friends, I'm so tired of the narrative that's out there that Christians are judgmental and narrow-minded and quick to condemn. We see it in action everywhere. But here in this congregation, we have a different story to tell. We believe that God loves everyone unconditionally, and the doors are open to whosoever will. So how do we tell that story? How do you tell that story in your life? How do you spread the good news that God is not about condemning people, but is at work in the world, saving, healing, reconciling, and we are those who don't have all the answers? Who don't always know what we're doing, but we're going to do the best we can to join God in that work with humility and boldness. We don't quite know how Nicodemus responded to that invitation, but the question now lies with us: how will we?
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together? An affirmation of faith on number 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here in the sanctuary, you can fill out a gray card. They're located in the pew racks in front of you, and you can place those in the offering plates as they're passed down the rows in a few moments. The rose on the altar this morning celebrates the birth of Joseph Daniel McAnally, who was born on February 26th to Scott and Liz McAnally. He's also welcomed by his big sister, Merritt McAnally. And this morning, our prayers are with the family and friends of Linda Sims, who are mourning the death of her daughter, Linda Rickman, Ricky Bear, who passed away on February 17th. A memorial service will be held on Monday, March 6th at 11 a.m. at Vine Street Christian Church. Our prayers are also with Christina Thompson and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, John Milton, who passed away on February 22nd. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. We praise you this day for your great love for us and for your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have eternal life. We give you thanks for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives, which sustains us and grants us the gift of new life. Gracious God, we pray for those who are hurting this day. We ask that you would bring your healing into their lives. We pray for those who are searching this day. And we ask that you might be a source of answers and guidance. We pray for those who are afraid this day. We ask that you might help them know safety and peace. Oh God, we pray for our world, that our leaders might work for the health and safety of all people. May their actions reflect the love which you have for each of us. We pray for those who are hungry, those who are without shelter, those who are ill, those who are grieving, those who are isolated and alone. May we respond to your goodness and grace by joyfully caring for others and for our world, that all might know of your love through our love. We ask all of this in the name of love incarnate, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed in the chat or on the screen. And here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy this morning to the God who has been so generous with us.
be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on the earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave them your commandments and made them your covenant people. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of the cosmos, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
You may be seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand. Now, when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance and the cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted and graced and reborn to reaffirm the covenant you made with us through Christ, who on the night in which he gave himself up for us, took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Please join me in the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the body of Christ, broken and given in love to you and to me and to all the world. This is the cup of salvation, the cup of grace poured out for all people, that we might know how God loves the world. The table is set. Our host is Jesus Christ himself, and this table belongs to him. You do not have to be a United Methodist. You don't have to be anything at all except yourself, and you are welcome at this table. Everyone who is here and everyone who is not here has a place at this table. If this is your first time receiving communion in this particular congregation, however, just a few words of guidance. We will be inviting folks to come to the altar rails to receive communion. Our choir will go first, followed by those in the transepts and balcony, and then the rest of us in the center can come down the center aisle and just make your way to any open space that you see. If you'll have your hands open, that will let our servers know you have yet to receive. Then after receiving, you're welcome to stay in prayer as long as you would like. If you're unable or you choose not to come forward, I will be making my way around the sanctuary with prepackaged elements, and if you'll just wave to me, I will serve you in your seat. All of our elements today are gluten-free. As we come forward, we always have an opportunity to support a mission of the congregation. Our mission this month goes to the place where we were yesterday at our great day of service, the Glencliff United Methodist Church campus, the Commons at Glencliff, which includes tiny homes, a village of Glencliff, a community garden, Poster Nashville, and other ministries. As a mission church, Glencliff relies on partner churches in our United Methodist connection, like West End, in order to thrive in ministry. So your gifts today will go towards shared building space to help them establish hospitable gatherings and to create a justice-centered mission hub in the heart of Nashville. Let us now come to the table to receive the grace that is offered to whosoever will.
Thank you.
in spirit and join with me in giving thanks for what we have just received. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Have been reminded that God loves the world and God is healing the world. May we remember that God loves each one of us and is healing each one of us. May we then go out as instruments of love to help God heal the world. Amen.